The Integration Minister, Roderic O'Gorman, says the crisis at asylum seeker accommodation means it won't always be possible to engage with communities about the use of facilities in their area. However, the government is promising to beef up its communication strategy around the housing of international protection applicants and refugees. And the Taoiseach, he says, some recent protests go against our understanding of being Irish. And Louise Byrne, it was a long debate on this issue in the Dáil today. Bring us through the criticism, if any, of the government's response to this issue.
I think a lot of the criticism did actually kind of focus around the communications part of it, and a lot of TDs brought that up, that perhaps the government should be communicating. Now, Roderic O'Gorman, the Integration Minister, he actually made quite an interesting point, and he was saying, listen, we know it's not ideal, we're not communicating sooner, but we are working in a crisis and sometimes we just have to do things fast. But what he was also saying is that these things also have to be communicated to people at the right time. He was saying there's been instances where there have been threats to accommodation providers, where there has been arson attacks. So these things kind of have to be a little bit more delicate than people might expect. So a lot of the criticism was around the communication. Also a little bit of criticism around the policing of these protests. We heard Garda Commissioner Drew Harris was out yesterday and he was kind of defending the policing of these protests, saying that Gardaí are taking a long view on this, that they're not going to fall into the trap of the far right. That came in for criticism from Labour's Duncan Smith. He was saying that he doesn't think there should be a long view on things, that if people are obstructing roads or putting up blockades outside accommodation, then that should be dealt with. And he said he didn't agree with the commissioner on that at all. But the government launching a really strong defence of their policies, but kind of accepting and saying that they will have to do more in that communications part.
And even the minister saying as well this afternoon that a large house at the centre of the latest protest, which there was an alleged assault outside of in County Clare, will not be used to house asylum seekers or refugees anymore, just to show again the communications piece and how information can spread.
I actually think what he said was it was never being used in Clare. It was never being used at all for accommodation, and it kind of just goes to show how quickly these things do spread. And, you know, we have seen a lot of protests and I don't think you can take away from the legitimate concerns at these protests. And people do have local concerns and that's fine. And I think there's an acceptance that they have to be heard. But I think there is now also an acceptance that there is an element to the far right on this. We've seen the videos on social media. Roderic O'Gorman, really strong actually before that debate, he was doing a press conference in government buildings and he was saying that it was disturbing seeing people with the tricolour wrapped around them at these protests, that, you know, it doesn't represent what Ireland is and what Ireland does, and that, you know, you don't often hear the stories about the communities that have welcomed these people in, and kind of reinforcing the fact that we need to be looking at them rather than these far right protests.
Roderic O'Gorman, as we said, saying in the Dáil that the crisis is so acute that perhaps communication not always possible. But Thomas Gould, your party leader Mary Lou MacDonald, telling the House earlier during this debate that, quote, you have to talk to people, you have to give them notice when people are moving into their community. Do you?
You do. And I tell you why you do. Because what happens, because there's a communication deficit and an information deficit, these, like what happened in Clare, in my own constituency 3 weeks ago, six presentation brothers from Africa got off a bus and all hell broke loose. There was a protest, there was people running around, Facebook, and I contacted the minister, I contacted the city council, and we were able to tell people that these were just Christian brothers on a retreat. But such is the distrust of the government and the mishandling of it now anywhere. And it just goes to the... You see, you have a lot of really decent, genuine people. I've been in contact with the minister now about a new centre on Gerald Griffith Street, just around the corner from where I live. I was down there Saturday going door to door meeting people, trying to explain to people, trying to stop this misinformation, what's going out there, right? But you have to meet people and explain to people. And virtually everyone I met Saturday had no problem. They just wanted to know what was happening and they wanted to communicate.
And that's centre. But are you really blaming the government, though, for racist elements of some of the protests we have seen?
No, I'm not. But I still don't have the information for my constituents 6 weeks after the workers went in there. So that's the problem. There's a lack of communication. And I put it this way. There was a protest outside my office Thursday. There was another one the week before. The week before that, they called to my house. We're on the ground facing down the racists and the fairy. I have no problem doing it because we believe Ireland is a welcoming country. My own family travelled the world, Australia, England, America. So I know we're on the right side for asylum seekers.
We'll touch upon some of that element in a moment, but Mark O'Cahasig, your party colleague, Roger O'Gorman, saying it's not possible to talk to people in advance all the time. Thomas Gould's party leader saying you have to talk to people. Which is it?
I think any representative within government or otherwise would tell you their experience has been mixed in terms of the engagement that you get. And I fully accept, I mean, we've accommodated 85,000 people, 100,000 people have arrived. And so there have been times within my own constituency, I'd admit it, and obviously the minister is a member of my party, there's been times where I've gotten information and could do exactly as Thomas said, engage with the community, and that helped smooth a lot of the problems. And there's been times when I've gotten information through channels I wouldn't have liked to have done, whereby I found the information, but you know, out from people living within the community, for example. And definitely as a public representative, so you find yourself then engaging with people after the fact. And that's a much more difficult engagement rather than if you proactively go to them and speak with them and meet them where they are. That's absolutely a much better way to do it. But we have to acknowledge like the scale of the crisis that we're dealing with. I mean, it's 2% of the population. Is what we're talking about, 100,000 people who've arrived within 14 months. So the response, I think, on the whole has been good, but it has been imperfect in some places. And I think the minister himself would acknowledge that.
Heather Tobin, what's your assessment?
Yeah, the scale is massive and it is a difficult job and there's no government that's going to deliver on it 100% for sure. But I do think that we need a policy of compassion and common sense. And I think, you know, in a vacuum of information is a rich bed to see disinformation being produced. And that's what we're seeing. I do think there needs to be community dividends and there isn't a community dividend in many of these areas. So areas that are disadvantaged are finding that they're struggling for services already and, you know, extra people obviously puts pressure on services.
A 50
as well.
Million euro community fund has been set up to provide
support.
Yeah,
but I've put in a parliamentary question to find out how much of that has been spent, and I don't know if any of it has been spent, and it was talked about at Christmas. So that's
did you get a response
not
to that
yet,
question?
No, I haven't received it yet. I have another problem with the issue of the process itself. So right now there are 14,000 people in the asylum application process. The asylum applications process job is to differentiate between those who are real asylum seekers who we need to help and those who aren't, maybe economic migrants, etc. But that people are waiting 3 and 4 years in that process. And some people are, one person is actually waiting 14 years to have their first decision on their application process made. And that doesn't take into consideration the issue of appeals. So we know that we're providing accommodation currently for people who may not be asylum seekers. And under this pressure that we're in at the moment, I don't think that's logical. Also, the deportation issue is really important here. 4,500 people received deportation orders in 2018 to last year. 3,800, the government don't know whether they're deported or not. So we actually have what's called, what is in effect, a voluntary deportation system, which again, given the pressures that we're under in terms of providing accommodation, that does not make sense.
Louise.
Just on the Community Recognition Fund, because I was actually at a press conference on this last week, and they've actually announced that the 50 million is going to be spent on over 880 projects across every single county to receive funding. So that money has actually been allocated now, and I think there are plans.
But
spent
is it, I suppose it's like all I'm saying is here we are in May and that was debated in December and nothing has been
Marco
spent.
Marco Cahasi, well, you're saying that the scale of the crisis is unprecedented. We did see over the weekend how the government rejected offers of thousands of beds to accommodate refugees last year. It's a move it's now being forced to revisit. Does that not say that if the government had made better decisions earlier, then perhaps we wouldn't have the situation we have at the moment with people in tents in the streets?
Let me do the classic. This is not a pivot, but I will come back to that. I did want to respond just to what Pater was saying about processing, because Minister Harris actually spoke directly to this point earlier today in the debate, and he spoke about the extra resources that have been made available, where those processing times are coming down really significantly from an average of 17 months to 3 months, I think the minister said today. And I'd absolutely agree. I taught children during my time in Glornamara and Tramore whose parents were, who'd been born in Ireland and parents were still in the application process. absolutely inhumane, but there's been extra resourcing.
And on the accommodation question, again, nobody arguing that the scale of the crisis is unprecedented, but could better decisions not have been made earlier that would have prevented some of what we've seen?
I think better structures could have been in place. I think the initial structures for that community response were overwhelmed fairly quickly. And again, actually, was it Minister O'Brien's opening statement today? He referenced the county manager in Waterford, Michael Walsh, who has been subsequently put in charge of that kind of community response. And he's brought that, I suppose, weight of experience and expertise. And we've had a much more successful take up in terms of that offer of accommodation. So certainly the structures that were initially put in place were overwhelmed just by the sheer magnitude of people arriving.
Thomas Gould.
You see, and I suppose just going back to the whole thing of the blockades and the protests, like if you're living in a community that has been neglected, that Mark is getting upset now, but I represent these communities, right? That you're 12 years on the housing list. I had a girl with 13 years and 3 months on the housing list, right? And then I have another lady who got cut off her medical care last week. And people are angry, but what happens then, they're aiming their anger are refugees and asylum seekers, and the anger should be aimed at government policy. And this is what the issue here is. If you're on a housing list, why should a person be on a housing list 10 or 12 years, right? The war was only started a year and a bit ago. So it has nothing got to do with the refugees. And just before I come in there, I just want to say to all the people who are who've been under attack or blockade, right? The vast majority of Irish people, the far right don't resist. They're a tiny minority. They're very aggressive, very vocal. But I believe the vast majority of people, and that goes back to our own history, between the famine, between emigration, Irish people understand this. They need a government that will lead on
it. Let Mark O'Cahasig respond.
Yeah, I just want to read a quote from somebody who spoke earlier today in the debate. There are those who want to channel this anger for their own selfish ideals and create a narrative of us versus them. It is a classic trick. They do not want people to work together. They want division. Do you recognise those words, Thomas?
Yeah, they're my words.
They are.
And they're literally.
And the way that you're speaking about this now, I think we have to be careful when you say, oh, the communities. We don't specify which communities. And in fact, this is a finessed line because we've heard it over and over from Sinn Féin. We've heard it from Chris Andrews. We've heard it from John Brady.
No, how dare you? We are out on the front line and there's not a Green Party person to be seen. It's Sinn Féin. We're the person facing down the ferry. We're the person standing up. We're the person standing up to the fascists. I'm the person who spoke at the rallies in Cork. Sinn Féin, the government is missing in action. They're not communicating to people. And you know this whole issue about the housing crisis. If we didn't have a housing crisis,
there are those
this
who
wouldn't
want
be
to channel this
bad.
Anger yes. for their own selfish
yeah, yes.
ideals to
and
create a narrative
this, no.
of us
this government
them.
Has in, failed
in,
people.
In fairness, Mark O'Cahasig, there were concerns raised, for instance, about Ballyhadreen in County Roscommon. They have seen an increase of 400 refugees in the town since 2017. They say they've gotten zero supports. Community yes. leaders in Clonus and County Monaghan,
they have
also raised concerns about the lack of supports offering. So is it not a fair question or a fair point raised by the deputy there?
We should absolutely be providing
you should.
Services.
Well, should
be providing extra services.
We have people referencing housing lists. No, why didn't you do it? Because you failed to do it.
Yes.
So over 3 years,
but I do want to make one point as well.
3 years
of government. Very briefly, just another issue that's been missed here as well. So I got a parliamentary question answered back from the minister today, which showed that 80% of the accommodation that the state is using currently to accommodate asylum seekers is in hospitality. So this is a sector itself that's under major pressure. There's a lot of downstream hospitality businesses that are dependent on the throughput of tourists in those areas, and that's simply not happening. So their ability to pay their rents, their mortgages, to feed their kids is hammered as a result. And yet on the flip side, the government promised again months and months ago that we would have 500 modular homes built by October.
That's right,
October.
That's right,
and then 85% of pledged Ukrainian homes were never activated. And the 500 buildings that were identified by Roger O'Gorman last April, only 12 of those being put in place by Christmas. And you know that the government bought about 30 buildings in late last year, and only about two or three of those, one of those were actually brought into use.
Okay.
So we have this over-dependency on the hospitality, which is really hammering regional Ireland.
It's an issue that's going to run and run, and we have to run for a moment back in a moment.
Text 51551. The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.